Ever felt like you were on the wrong side of the divide? Well, the World Economic Forum's latest technology report suggests that most developing nations are still struggling to cross the digital divide, and it means they're unable to, or could mean that they're unable to, take full advantage of our digital world, whether that's financially or in terms of education and skills and engineering and stuff like that. I spoke to the report author Thierry Geiger and asked him why.
Unsurprisingly, sub-Saharan Africa continue to lag behind. But across the entire developing world, we see gaps and shortcomings and enormous room for improvement. And not only in technology penetration, so internet usage and broadband access, etc., but also in all the framework conditions. So things that have to do with skills, property rights, content, infrastructure, digital content, etc. So
just explain that just a bit in more depth when you talk about the skills and the digital content.
Yes. For example, the traditional definition of digital divide and the fact that it is traditionally been seen as a lack of access to technology, and people tend to believe that by improving, you know, a mobile telephony, for example, penetration is enough to bridge this gap. And yes, we've experienced and we've observed double-digit growth in terms of mobile telephony. But what we're seeing in our reports and our research is that this is not enough. You need to improve also on the framework conditions, because without the skills, without the literacy among the population, you cannot take full advantage of technology.
So when you talk about the skills, you're talking about not only the skills in knowing how to use the technology, but also how to develop the technology locally, right?
Yes, and exactly. It's the notion of innovation. So both from a user perspective, you know, how can you, if you cannot read or if you cannot use a computer, you cannot take full advantage. And you cannot also contribute to the content because skills contribute to innovation and contribute to creating a conducive environment for innovation, for technology, for entrepreneurship, etc.
Well, you mentioned access to mobile devices, and just the other week we spoke to the Indian communications minister Kapil Sibal, who made that very point as well, that in India that was really a vital point. And I could pinpoint India for the moment. It is, if you look at some statistics, third in the world in terms of its internet users. It has about 150 million internet users, but at the same time you place it at about 68. It comes on your list of network readiness index. It's at place 68. How should we understand that? There's a lot of internet users. Yeah. It comes third in the world in terms of internet users, and yet on your list of networked readiness, it is very low.
Well, that's interesting indeed, because you mentioned 150 million internet users, but it's, you know, a little bit more than 10% of the population. So it's still far from universal usage and far from the rates you observe in even China, so where you have about 40% of the population accessing the internet on a regular basis. So 10% penetration for internet is quite low by international standard. An interesting case is mobile telephony in India. I mean, they are probably one of the countries where mobile telephony has grown the fastest. Indeed, we observe that India is the cheapest place on earth for technology usage, so for the cost of technologies. But for all the other technology, personal computers, broadband access to the internet, just for example, the broadband internet subscription, it's just one connection per 100 population.
In India?
One broadband access subscription per 100 population. It's really, really small. And this explains partly why India is ranked so low.
I wonder, because you mentioned sub-Saharan Africa, there are also some relatively good stories, positive stories in some African countries. What can you tell us about the African countries that are doing well?
Well, the countries that tend to do well in the region are smaller countries such as Mauritius. And, you know, arguably it's easier to deploy technology and to embrace technology when you're a small country. I mean, the challenges are smaller than, for example, India or China when it comes to deploying technology among the population. So Mauritius is typically a country that tends to do relatively well. And South Africa also is unsurprisingly one of the best performing countries in sub-Saharan Africa. But by and large, we see that sub-Saharan Africa really lags behind in terms of penetration of technology but also in all this aspect of quality aspect, that the environment is not very conducive, and therefore the impact in terms of access to services, creation of new business models, quality of the interaction with governments is still very small.
So we've spoken about a little bit about Asia, a little bit Africa. Just let's focus on the top 10, just very briefly. The top 10 features seven European countries, so that paints a rather good picture of Europe. It also includes the United States, but there you've said that there are certain political and regulatory aspects that are actually limiting the benefits of technology in the United States. That's quite a remarkable statement.
In the US, there are some concerns about the quality of these framework conditions and the political deadlock in the US, which has consequences on the budget, on the capacity to invest. Infrastructure, even digital infrastructure, is affected, the capacity to deploy broadband across the country. And again, situations around the laws and property rights, all these things are not great in the US. I mean, don't get me wrong, it's still very good by international standards, but it's not as good as some of the best performers, such as the Nordics. Typically, the Nordics, led by Finland, but also the Asian Tigers, led by Singapore, tend to do very well across the board, whereas in the US, it's not necessarily the case.
Thierry Geiger, author of the World Economic Forum's latest technology report.